But I started to see her through his definition of who she was. Mm-hmm. And I saw her beautiful blue eyes. I saw the fact that she would drop to the ground and play with grandkids and great grandkids. Like in a heartbeat, she would just let everything else go and she would have fun in the moment. She became so beautiful to me. So how we speak about each other is an invitation for others to see them in a new way.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Welcome to More Than Small Talk. We're Susie Eller,
Jennifer Watson,
and Holly Girth, writers and real life friends. We're inviting you to go deeper, become freer, and feel more connected.
So imagine you have a cup of coffee, a mug of tea, or a green smoothie in your hand,
and we're all hanging out in your living room together.
Welcome back, fourth chair friends. Last week, we talked about how we are not going to let others define our worth anymore. We're going to look to Jesus for that. And this week, we are going in a different direction and talking about those who build us up and who actually defend our worth.
Yeah. So one of the things that we really love is we're hearing from you that you are taking these confession questions and you're using them in conversations with your friends. We are also talking about this on our Facebook group, More Than Small Talk. So we hope that you'll join in that conversation. Today's confession question is, has someone ever defended your worth? Let's go with this, girls.
Well, I was thinking about something that happened recently, and it was my 14-year-old daughter who defended my worth. We were in a youth group situation where I had to kind of correct someone lovingly, and it was just, you know, in a quiet thing. So she went off like teenagers do, which was one of those things that we worked through and all of that. But my daughter came to my rescue, and I almost had to like calm her down because I was like, you know what? It's okay. She's having a bad moment. But to hear her response to the disrespect,
yeah.
You know, I thought that it was such a sweet picture to see because, of course, you know, my daughter's disrespected me and, you know, talk smack, all of those different things, you know, that they do. But it was one of those things that she wanted to defend me. And I had to really like work with her and say, you know what, you don't have to carry this offense, but I appreciate you for validating my worth and for fighting for me. But, you know, have to, like, calm down a little bit, you know. So it was a sweet moment of watching her kind of stand up, you know, and realize what she liked and what she didn't like about someone was saying, you know?
Yeah. Well, so my dad is my dad in every sense of the word, but he received two girls when he married my mom, and I was one of them. And so then three more kids came along. And I remember when my little brother was 8, which would have made me like 16, 17. And somebody said, "That's not your sister," because they had realized that my dad, who raised me, was not my biological dad. My brother came home, Randy, with a black eye at the age of 8 because he literally took on this older kid who was like, "She's not your sister." And he came home and bless his heart, his little blonde hair was puffed up in the air and he had a black eye and he was, you know, and I love that 8-year-old little guy took on the world for his sister. So he stood up for me.
That's so sweet. And on the day we're recording this, it is the 5th anniversary of when my grandpa Holly went home to Jesus.
Yeah.
And so it's a tender day, but I also love thinking about him and remembering him. He had a Christian bookstore, and that's a big part of my story, how I became a writer. But starting when I was 16, he would take me on breakfast dates.
Yeah.
And we would go to Cracker Barrel or Denny's or wherever. And he would just ask about my life and talk to me about, you know, what's God teaching you, and also laugh a lot. And he was fun to be around. He said the secret to living a long time is 3 hugs a day. But, you know, it's not so much what he specifically said, but in my teenage years, when you're so vulnerable to how men think about you.
Yeah.
He defended my worth by showing with his actions, you know, you are worth being treated well.
Wow.
You're worth being listened to. Your future matters. You deserve respect. Mm. You know, all these things. So I think that people can speak into our worth, but they can also just model, you know, that you have value. And that's something he did really consistently for me.
Yeah. And I love that you're talking about him, Holly. And you're actually named after him.
Yes.
Right?
Yes,
because it was Grandpa Holly.
Grandpa Holly.
And she's Holly. Yeah. And I never got to meet Grandpa Holly, but just hearing your stories about him make me really happy, because the bond that you had with him gives me such hope that one day my littles will be as connected to me as you are. You still are. Mm-hmm. And you were with him. He just sounds like a beautiful man.
Yeah, he really was. Everybody would love him. I wish we could have him on the podcast. He would have us all laughing.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, anytime someone loves us well, it defends our worth.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a good point.
You know?
And so defending and building each other up is, this podcast is called, that is part of loving each other well. And mm-hmm. right now, we live in a world where we shred each other. Mm-hmm. I mean, like literally, we shred each other. Yeah. Social media mm-hmm. has become, I think Facebook, when it first started, was supposed to be fun, you know, and there are parts of it that are not fun anymore, because if you say one thing that hits somebody else's button, like, it's not that they disagree with you, they shred you.
Right.
Yeah.
It's definitely a stone throwing culture right now.
Yeah.
And so I think that our hearts are to come together with women like shoulder to shoulder.
Yeah.
And I want it to become the norm, to where when someone tries to talk bad about a woman, that we immediately rush to their defense and their aid.
Yeah.
What would this society be like if we just really stood up for one another, you know, or saw the good in them?
Yeah.
So how can we, as women, build each other up and affirm one another?
You know, I think it just means asking ourselves, what is one way I can stand between this person and this lie? Mm. You know, so if someone in our lives is struggling with feeling like they're not enough, you know, if we can stand in front of them and speak truth and say, you know what, because of Jesus, you are.
Yeah.
Or if they hear something hurtful on Facebook, you know, sending them a text that says, you know, this is who you are. Like, don't listen to that. Speaking with kindness, you know? So
yeah,
I think defending is not necessarily like this aggressive thing, because we definitely don't want to add to that.
We're not trying to debate.
But it's this tender, this kindness. It's almost the things we think of as soft, like we've talked about before on the podcast, are actually strong. So just saying, you know, how can I stand between this person I love in this lie?
Yeah. I didn't know my grandparents well. So when I married Richard and I met his grandparents, they were probably in their 60s when I first met them. And Grandpa Franklin would take a picture out of his wallet, and it was an old picture of his wife. And he would say, look at her. She is the most beautiful. She's the most kind. Isn't she wonderful? If you two can love each other half as much as we love, you know, I love Hazel, then you're going to have a good chance of having a good marriage. And honestly, I would look over at Hazel, who I loved a lot, but sweet didn't define her. Sassy did. Spicy did. Beautiful didn't necessarily define who she was, because she had like this poof of white hair and she was real thin. But he saw her as so beautiful. And what I realized is that over time, because I loved her, but I started to see her through his definition of who she was. Mm-hmm. And I saw her beautiful blue eyes. I saw the fact that she would drop to the ground and play with grandkids and great grandkids. Like, in a heartbeat, she would just let everything else go and she would have fun in the moment. She became so beautiful to me. So how we speak about each other is an invitation for others to see them in a new way.
Right. And I would say that that's my go-to, is words of affirmation, because I know how many people feel so depleted, or they're wrestling with that inner mean girl in their head. So when I know that they're wrestling with something, the gift of words and values to make sure that that's the last thing that they remember that day. It's powerful. So words of affirmation are my kind of go-to with people.
Yeah. Well, and Holly, you're a connector. You are such a good connector with people. So how do you think that we can build each other up? I know you've shared some, but I just feel like you're like a well of information on this, that you have so much depth to offer.
Yeah, which is so funny to me because I don't think of myself that way. But, you know, I do think that there's strength in not numbers as in a lot of people, but in not doing life alone.
Yeah.
You know, that community is a real defense against what comes against our worth, because we have those people who remind us of who we are and that we can do what God has asked us to do. And, you know, it's hard and it's scary. I mean, we had a Word Girls get together at my house last night, and we've been doing this for a while now, but I still always have that fluttery, vulnerable feeling of like, am I crazy? Like, are they going to have fun? Are they going to like each other? Yeah. Do they like my, you know? And it's like, I've just decided that's part of it. You know, that's just part of the package. And that is a way we can help other people feel more secure, is in inviting them into our lives and saying, you are welcome here, you know, kind of inviting them into this safe space that is apart from the Facebook rants and the harsh words they may hear other places, that just saying to someone, you know, I'm going to dare to create a place where you can bring yourself as you are and know you will be loved that way, but also be encouraged to leave even better and braver and stronger. And that's something, I guess I do really feel passionately about it. I've seen it modeled, you know, by my other grandma, Granny Eula, who still teaches a Sunday school class that she has for decades and has this group of women that have walked together, you know, through all these life milestones and are still in their late, you know, 80s and 90s cheering each other on literally to the finish line. And I just think that is such a gift. And it takes vulnerability and consistency and awkwardness, but it's worth it.
Well, and I think if you've ever been knocked down, to be aware of how that felt and to be tender towards somebody else, you know, knowing that they too may have experienced that. And it's not that you handle anybody with kid gloves, but we just be aware that we can be snarky and fun and have fun, but also our words really matter. They matter a whole lot.
Well, I was just thinking about how we were at this like party with a friend and they wanted to do this roasting. And we, all three of us, Susie, Holly, we were like, no, we
don't want any.
We do not want to roast anybody. We want to, but it was so almost offensive to us.
It was hard.
It was supposed to be a playful, fun thing, but we felt so protective of that person's heart that we were like, nuh-uh, we're just going to say all these nice things.
You know? So, no, I was really uncomfortable during that. And it was a great party and there were a lot of people who loved her well. And these people loved her well. It's just, when you bring up someone's vulnerabilities and place them in front of the whole world on your birthday, it doesn't seem like a birthday gift to me.
And for those in other countries who may not use the word roast.
Yes, I think that's really important. We're not throwing them in the fire, although we are.
It is kind of like that. It's the, you tell negative stories or make negative comments about someone in the name of humor.
Yes.
You know? And like it's supposed to be like you're honoring them somehow, but it doesn't come out that way.
It doesn't. Mm-mm. It doesn't. And I don't know who started it. It's a bad idea. But I remember one time being at a conference as a speaker. And so they decided to roast all of the people who had come to donate their time to teach you. And so I was watching one person in particular who was in front of me that was being roasted. And the only thing that you can do when this is happening is to take it.
Right.
I mean, honestly, you just have to take it. So I'm watching her and she's taking it and she has this kind of odd smile on her face. And I know that her heart on the inside is like, well, man, why did I get on a plane and fly across the country to get this? I think we can do better.
Yeah. I think we can do the opposite. I think we can, in a world where that happens a lot, whether online or in person, we can say, you know what? I'm going to do the opposite of that. I'm going to choose to speak life into the people around me. I'm going to choose to see the best in them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So as we think about this, we encounter things in our everyday lives, in our online lives, you know, in our relationships. If someone's asking, okay, I do want to be someone who defends the worth of others, but I'm not quite sure exactly what that looks like. I know we've covered speaking into others' lives, but are there any other practical steps that we might be able to share about how we can be more consistent in doing this for each other.
And building each other up. I remember, and Jennifer, I hope it's okay that I'm telling this story. If it's not, it won't be on here.
She's going to roast you.
So one day we were doing the podcast and Jennifer came in and she was exhausted after a ministry weekend and things weren't going smoothly for us. Honestly, I didn't notice that, but you shared that you felt like you had let us down.
Yes.
And then you drove off into the sunset, you know, you were going home and I was driving behind you, and I very much felt like that I needed to, you couldn't just drive off. Mm-mm. So I called you and I was like, are you okay?
Yeah.
And you said, not really.
Yeah.
And we were able to talk through that. And I was able to say, hey, I know that you see it this way, that like somehow you messed this up, but you didn't.
Right.
You were honest and you were raw and you... And if we're expecting perfection, we're screwing this up from the beginning.
Right,
you know, that's not what we're about. And I just want you to know, I can't imagine doing this with anyone but you and Holly. Mm-hmm. And it was, you know, and I'm not sharing this to say, oh, look what Susie did. I'm saying that I knew that you were driving away.
Feeling defeated.
Like this brings again tears. I don't know why we're crying over these. No. But it made me sad that my really sweet friend who has so much to offer was walking away feeling defeated over a couple of little mistakes that we all made.
Right. It was a little flub. And I can remember leaving with like tears in my eyes and being apologetic.
Yeah.
Because that's what we do, right? We apologize for everything.
Yeah.
And so I felt like I had failed you guys. And what Holly said to me before I left is she said, talk to yourself like you would me.
Yeah.
Like you would to a friend.
Yeah.
And then you called. And I want you to know what used to, I would have spiraled and felt so depressed over that. You guys built me up.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about.
It is.
And I think it just comes down to noticing one another and seeing that look in their eyes and making that call.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems so, we make it so difficult, but it's so simple as paying attention to one another.
Yeah.
That's building each other up and then acting on it.
Yeah.
And doing it, even if we think, oh, she doesn't need that. Like she's strong. She's capable.
Strong.
She's got it together. Like, you know, she can defend herself.
Yeah.
But I think that in the area of our worth, like it's so tender for all of us that we all need other people to step into that for us.
Right. Well, and I want to thank my brother who at the age of 8 years old stuck up for his big sister because that is something that I have carried my whole life. That this little guy was so passionate that he would say, and we don't need to go in throwing our dukes around and trying to fight everything. But I'm saying that when you stand up for someone and say, she is worth fighting for, maybe just by being strong with her or loving her or saying something good about who she is, literally the seed that you're planting inside of her, you have no idea how that is going to stay with her for a really long time.
Right,
so thanks, Randy.
And that just made me think of how that's what Jesus does for us,
right?
Like even more than the little brother, he's like stretching out on a cross and saying like, you are worth fighting for. You are worth dying for.
Yeah.
And so if he does that for us, then we can follow his example and do the same for each other.
Right.
Yeah. So let's fight for each other. Let's build each other up in a world where verbal knockouts and verbal bombs and rocks are being thrown. Take that opportunity to say, hey, I see something so good in you. And say it to someone else. Hey, I see something so good in her. Did you notice that too?
Right.
I think that would be beautiful. So what are we doing next? Where are we going next?
Next week, we are talking about busting out of our boxes. So
not busting out of our britches.
Out of our britches.
We do that sometimes too.
But yeah, so if you feel like you are a woman labeled or carrying these labels, I think this is going to be such a fun episode that you are going to walk away with something that's going to encourage your heart.
And for resources today, I wanted to share a little bit about a book I recently released in partnership with Dayspring called What's True About You. So if you have a woman in your life that you are thinking, I totally want to help defend her worth, but I have no idea what to do or say, then this book is a solution. Like, I know it's my book, but I'm really passionate about getting it out there, because the reason I wrote it in part was because I have a daughter who came into our lives late in her life, and she didn't get to have her worth defended when she was growing up. And so as much as I can, I want to say the things that are in this book, like, you are loved, you are accepted, you are who you need to be for God's plan for your life. So I would love every woman in the whole world to have a copy of this.
Yeah.
And so that we can remind each other who we truly are.
And Holly, I think that if they're sending a daughter off to college, or a daughter off into a new season of life, tuck this in with all that she's packing in to start this new season of life, because I think this will be really helpful in this new season.
Yeah. So we want to say to you, we believe you are of great worth, and we also know your time is of great worth, and we don't take it for granted that you spend it with us. And we are on your side, and we are better and stronger and braver together.
And that's it for today's episode. Thanks for going deeper, becoming freer, and connecting with us. More Than Small Talk is a part of the KLRC Podcast Network and is produced by Kara Culver. Show notes and resources are available on the More Than Small Talk page on KLRC.com. You can also join us in the More Than Small Talk Facebook group. Subscribe to More Than Small Talk on your favorite podcast app so you won't ever miss an episode.